Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day, and it's actually more like a dream come true for me, and I know that's what you're thinking, isn't it? My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, or the short one is jbsba.com, or jimblastinggame.com. I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. Andre Carter is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's an old friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. He's the CEO of IRIMI, which is a Washington-based consultancy company. He helps people understand the 21st century, basically, the way I like to think about it, because he helps people to understand the way the marketplace works today in the 21st century, to make sure that when we may think that we're selling a product, but what we're really selling might be something a little bit different. And he helps us understand that. He's the author of the upcoming book. It's not out yet. You can't have it yet. I know you want it, but it's soon to be published. Little Blues, I think, is the title, as I remember. And he's our good friend. Andre, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Pleasure to be.
Little Blues, right? Isn't that the name?
That is the name.
I want to say Baby Blues, but it's Little Blues. At least that's the title right now, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the one, but I think that'll survive.
I hope so, because I think it should. Andre, one of my favorite things to do when I speak to small business audiences is, and even on the show, I love talking about our intellectual property journey, and especially when I see people who I know aren't really focusing on IP, intellectual property. They're not focusing on it. I know they have it. I know they're developing it. I know they're spending money on it, but they still don't quite get what power they have in their hands. They don't appreciate the assets that they've acquired, and the need to protect it and to leverage it. And it's exciting to me to talk to them about these things and see the lights come on in their eyes. And you do that all the time, don't you?
And we spend most of the day doing that, actually. And it's just very interesting. You know, people work very hard, especially small entrepreneurs in any line of business, to differentiate themselves, to come up with a superior offering, whether it's a product or a service. And then at the end of the day, right, it's kind of like being in the banking business and not locking your safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll take the precautions to protect what they spent all day coming up with.
Well, yeah, we lock our doors, we turn our security systems on, we make sure that, you know, everything's buttoned up and we don't want anybody in our building. We do all that, but then we create all this other stuff. And why do we do that? Is it because it's not something that we can necessarily hold? We can't paint it. We can't sit it on a desk. Why do we do this?
I think that's exactly it. I think we're all of us, I think, most of us working and owning businesses now, born at the end of a kind of a truly industrial age, and now we're in an information age. And so the reality of it is that, you know, if you have a business today, if you walk into most businesses, they can tell you the relative value of all the PCs they have, what they paid for them, whatever, devaluing assets, right? But they can't give you a list, right, of the top 10 pieces of intellectual property. If they have a patent or something, they'll list one or two. But
right. Beyond
that, it really stops and it breaks down. I think it's because you can't see and touch it, you know, and it's because that value has to be contracted for. You have to actually explicitly go out and try to leverage what you've got there. And
well, you know, when I want to tease bankers, I call them serial number bankers.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, and historically, the folks in the banking industry, they wanted to, if they loaned money on something, they wanted to have a serial number.
Exactly.
That they could file a UCC on, or they wanted to have a property, a legal description that they could file a mortgage on, or something that they could, you know, that some hard asset that they could go back and say is collateralizing this loan. And the truth is, though, small business owners have got into that rut themselves, didn't they?
Right.
They're serial number business owners, weren't they?
They absolutely were, and it only makes perfect sense that you follow your financing, right? I mean, you got to respond to the things that your bankers ask you or whoever is backing your business, And if you're backing it yourself, right, then you respond to the things that you do on a day-to-day basis. So customers never come in and ask you about, you know, your prize-winning intellectual property. Let's say if it's in the form of a bakery, what your recipe is and all of that. Now, if it is, though, they're trying to, hey, how do you make those cinnamon rolls so good? How long do you cook them? I mean, all of those, if you think of them at their core, are attempts to get at your IP, you know, and that happens in every business. How do they do that?
Right.
You know, because I think I could do that at home.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to, you know, one of the things that people are saying is, if manufacturing is going overseas, if we're not making that much anymore, how is our economy growing? What are we actually making, and what are we selling? And we're going to get Andre to help us sort all that out. Andre Carter, the CEO of Irimi and the author of the upcoming book, Little Blues, will be with us right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us. For you. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate at 17 Till. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. And when you get a chance, go to my website and go to smallbusinessadvocate.com and check out the blog, Jim's blog. What it does, basically, one of the things it does, it's an audio blog, by the way, folks, lots of audio on there. What it really does is it keeps the things that we do today and yesterday and the day before, it keeps those, the most current activity that we have on the show and the things that I've written, it keeps those right out on the front, right up front, so you can get to it really easily. And I think that's one of the things you're going to enjoy about the blog, and I hope you'll check that out, by the way, at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Andre Carter is our guest. Andre, give us your website, please.
It's www.irimicorp.com. That's IRIMICORP.com.
.com. And what will we find when we get there?
I'd give you some overview of the company and what we do and kind of our approach and how we try to take a slightly angled look at your company and building value and setting strategy, approach the market.
You know, folks, Andre gave a little speech a few years ago that really opened my eyes to some things. He introduced me. Some of you may remember Kenneth Croson on the show a month or so ago. Well, Andre introduced me to Kenneth's work. And some of the research he's done on the what I'm calling the metamorphosis of the balance sheets of American companies. Would you think that'd be a good way to say it?
A great way to put it, actually.
And by that I mean what Kenneth found out and what Andre introduced me to was that over the last 25 or 30 years, companies have gone from having a balance sheet with 70% to 80%. Tangible and 30% intangible assets, intangible including intellectual property, to where today those numbers have inverted to where we have 70% to 80% intangible, 30% tangible, and help us sort all that out, Andre. How does that manifest itself for us today?
I think in a lot of ways. I think what you're really talking about is really where businesses store their value. You know, and there's a perceived value. I mean, there's some innate value to owning the building that your company's housed in, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, you can only lease the building once or sell it, right? And you can hold it and have it appreciate over that time.
Right.
Whatever the business you run in that piece of real estate is, however, has the ability to create intellectual property. And if it's a restaurant, it's recipes. If it's a software business, it's software patents, copyrights, and other algorithms. And those are things that you can license.
Right.
Once you do that, you can license them to as many people as you want and still have it.
Or replicate them without having to manufacture them.
Exactly. So and that piece of it then means that you can now license. When you also license, now you've reduced what you need to actually monetize the thing that you own or control. You know, and so for small businesses, which, you know, all fit the same profile, right? I mean, they're all cash hungry when they start out, and, you know, owners, you know, hit the savings lines, their equity lines in the houses and all of it. It's all the same no matter what industry you're in.
That's right.
To do that, right? So you're looking for something that, you know, and you know what? The key word intellectual property is intellectual. That's the one thing we all have is intellect. So if you build that muscle up and make it strong, you get out there and compete with it, and guess what? It really is about the strength of your ideas, if you do the right thing to protect it. And if you do that all along the way, whenever you decide to get out of the business or bring someone else in or let someone else take certain pieces of it, you think about how you do that. You mentioned manufacturing over before the break, and it's really important. And it, you know, you always look at that and you got to ask yourself, what are people manufacturing overseas? You know, it's a what are we sending away? I mean, you know, 10 years ago, or not even 10 years ago, 7 years ago, the big thing was to be able to do websites. Well, okay, now that's not, you know, that's not as great as being able to really put up a, you know, a commerce site at the back end of that. You know, it's where the market is rewarding expertise, and so as long as you continue to travel along that curve and catalog and refine and document your ideas and what's your contribution to that, then that's the business that you're now in. And you know what? You can let someone else replicate, use, manufacture, whatever it is you were doing 5 years ago, because you're now working on the thing today. But you still have an interest in the success of that.
Some people are scratching their heads, though, Andre, over the fact that the U.S. is manufacturing less than ever before, but the economy is doing well. I mean, a lot of, I've actually had some pretty smart people say, what is the U.S. economy about anymore? And you hear people say, well, we're a service economy. But really, that's not, that doesn't even get it. Services is passe too, isn't it?
It is. I think to some extent. I mean, I've always been a...
I don't mean the service is not important, but we're already beyond the service economy stage, aren't we?
I think so. I mean, I really do. I mean, I think we're really in the realm of ideas. I mean, you look at someone, you know, we're into the value created by the mind, and
but a lot of people, pardon me, Andre, a lot of people don't understand how you use the word monetize. They don't understand how to monetize that. Help us with that.
Okay. You've got a classic example. You come up with an idea of how to develop some project. Let's go back to what we said about the bakery, right?
Uh-huh.
This is just so easy. Okay, you open the bakery and you make some great dough, you know, the best tasting dough in the world. All right, well, all of a sudden you can, if you want, you can sit there and simply use that dough to make bread. But if it's got an application also as a great basis for pizza, mm-hmm. you can get in the pizza business.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can walk down the street to your friend's pizza place and go, hey, taste this dough.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to give you the rights to make my dough to produce pizza.
I'm going to make bread, but I'm going to license it to you to make pizza crust.
There you go.
Or donuts to the guy two blocks away.
Exactly.
Because you came up with the idea for a better dough recipe, which is not flour and eggs and water, folks. It's intellectual property. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with Andre Carter right after these messages.
That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it.
Mr. Dan Fogelberg, ladies and gentlemen, from the Innocent Age album. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Andre Carter, CEO of Arimi Corp, author of the upcoming book Little Blues, and the website is arimicorp.com, right, Andre?
That's right.
I-R-I-M-I, all I's, three I's, arimicorp.com. Andre, one of the things that I've developed what I call Blassingame's Razor,
mm-hmm.
and Blassingame Razor says that it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business because we're all undercapitalized. And the reason we're undercapitalized is because, not because we're not good business people, but because there's always some place to put our money because we have such limited access to capital.
Yeah,
and the good news that you talk about and that I talk about with regard to our intellectual property journey, which I do think is good news, creates a challenge for small business owners because with limited access to capital, basically meaning our primary source is bank loans,
mm-hmm.
when we want to develop intellectual property, it doesn't have a serial number. If you remember, we talked about the beginning
right.
of the visit, the serial number concept of something that you can file a UCC on or a mortgage on.
Mm-hmm.
And banks, you know, they're not so keen on those kinds of things. And so one of my favorite things is to ask a banker, have you figured out how to file a UCC on a website? And none of them have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what I'm telling bankers is, if you're going to do business with small businesses of the future, you got to figure out how to do that, how to get comfortable with making a loan on intellectual property. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a really good point. And one of the things that we've started to try to get businesses to see when we work with them, and they're looking at financing, I think you're right to sort of take venture out of it, because you know, so few companies get venture capital compared to the ones who actually
the typical. I'm going to say that less than 5%, probably closer to 1% of all small businesses are actually venture prospects. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. That's absolutely right. And there's, you know, that's absolutely right. So immediately you're either in the realm of financing it yourself or getting some sort of a loan.
Right.
And you know what? That then takes it back to the connection between, because we talk, it's even in this show, a large part of the subtext here is how hard small businesses work. You know what that hard work goes to? Taking the intellectual property and giving it some meaning in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with protecting it with the patents and copyrights that we talked about.
Right.
The next step of those things, those pieces of paper, in some respects, are meaningless unless you take the steps to show the rest of the world how they mean money down the line. And what that means is, have you licensed it? What industries is this important to? And how do you work with those? Are you going to do some sort of an OEM manufacturing deal with that, or how can you sell to that? You've got to essentially build the case between the unique ideas that you have, that your intellectual property, and the market that they're going to serve. And when you trap those things together, it's really the presence of that intellectual property in the market that you're looking to finance. You can't just go, well, I have a piece of paper for a patent that makes ice water, right? But if you say, well, 20% of the world drinks ice water, and there's a bottled water craze, and we found a way to keep the water in bottled water cold even when it's not refrigerated, and that has meaning. And so I think the real key is just taking the other piece of what small businesses do, which is hard work, serving their market, but really understand how the intellectual property assets they have connect to the market that they're serving. And when you do that, you can't really file a UCC on that, but now you've asked the person or the banker or whoever's financing you, you've asked them to look at what your intellectual property means in the context of the world.
What you're saying is if I have an idea that I haven't proven, but I've got something I can give them a serial number for, they might still loan me the money because I've got this asset that they can fall back on. But if I've got intellectual property, I can't just go to them with an idea. I've got to go to them with something that works, don't I?
You got to go to them with something that works.
Yeah.
And you got to make that
well
market
said.
For them. Yeah.
Andre, thank you for being here. Thank you for the contribution that you made to opening my eyes on a number of areas along the lines of intellectual property several years ago, and we appreciate that. We can't wait for Little Blues to hit the market.
Well, it's coming along. We've got some new and great interest in what we're doing there on the publishing side.
Well, you're going to launch it on this show, right?
You know what? That's my hope. That's my hope.
Thanks, Andre. We'll see you next time. Andre Carter, ladies and gentlemen, with Irimi Corp. That's irimicorp.com. All eyes in the Irimi. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, encouraging you to leverage and protect and develop your intellectual property. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.